Here we go. We're up to the Drisha and the Prisha. We're finishing the page. We finished...
What?
Yes. And the Sma.
Spoiler.
Yeah. He actually tells you, he writes a whole Akdama as to why, what he's coming to do. So as we get to, yeah, we brought Show and Tell last week, we'll do Show and Tell again. We're about to finish the pages. We're going to make a Siyum. We're finishing all the Mefarshim on this page. We didn't do the tour. We did the Beis Yosef, we did the Bach. We've done the Darkei Moshe. And now at the bottom, barring the Hagos Va'aris, which is pretty hinting, we're going to do the Drisha and the Prisha, who are the same exact person. He also wrote a pirush on Choshe Mishpat, the Sma, Sefer Meir HaSinai. He was the first Meir HaSinai. So, Chernobyl.
Yes.
Chernobyl, the first Rebbe, before he had seven boys who each made their own dynasty, and has the Chernobyl dynasty. So the first Rebbe was the Meir HaSinai. Stress on the nine. Yeah. So he definitely did. That's Les Mandepoli. So now, where are we? What's his name? His name is Reb Yehoshua Falk or Valk Katz Hakoyin. What's Valk? What's Falk? So I always thought it was the last name.
It's Yehoshua.
Yeah. How did you know that? I'm so impressed.
Are you saying that Zach Falk is like a Yiddish of Yeshua?
So, yeah, very good. So, some people spell it with Vav, Valk. Some people say it with a Fe. And what's the Nafkamina? Who cares? The Nafkamina is Gittin and Kedushin.
Right.
You need to know how to write it. On a Get, you need to write it, know how to write it on a Ksuba. You need to know what's their name. So he actually, he wrote the base Shmuel, who was not so long after, wrote Seamus Begittin. He wrote a Pirush on all, we're going to get the Beis Shmuel, as next we're going through all the Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch. And the Beis Shmuel is one of the Mefarshim, Nesi Kalim on... No.
Chayunazir.
Very good. 2 points. So he says the way you spell Valk is Vav Vav Aleph Lamed Kuf. And if it's without the Aleph, it's Volk with a Kamatz. But he wrote it without it. He wrote it without an Aleph and a Patach. Valk. Because that was his Nasir. And also he wrote his name Yud Vav Shin Aleph. Yusha. Because that was his Nasirah. And you know, these things, they've reared their heads up every few generations. This is a good story. If you want to know, like, people will classify this story as a yeshivisha story. So we'll just give it that preface. That by Reb Aaron Soloveitchik's wedding. Reb Aaron Soloveitchik's wedding, he married a woman named Ella. I have a niece named Ella, after Rebbetzin Soloveitchik. So, there was a machlekes that broke out. Moshe Feinstein came to the wedding. And they were friends. And Reb Aaron Soloveitchik's brother was by the wedding, Rabbi Soloveitchik. And there was a question, how to write her name. Ella, how do you write Ella? Ella's a Yiddish name. But Rabbi Soloveitchik from Boston was of the opinion that if there's any precedent written in the Torah, you have to follow the writing of the Torah. So Ella can be printed with an Aleph Lamed Hey, like Ella. That was Rabbi Soloveitchik's opinion. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein was of the opinion, it's not even Aleph Lamed Aleph, it might be Ayins. There could be ayins in there. Ella, when it's a komatz at the end, it's usually an aleph. If there's a segel in there, it's usually a... Whenever there's a segel and it's a Yiddish name, there's always ayins. I don't know why that's so. And whenever there's a patach, you just throw in an extra aleph. You know what I'm talking about? So that's just how the names work. So Moshe Feinstein held his ground. Rabbi Soloveitchik held his ground. And it was written aleph, lamed, hey. So that's an aside, a nice cute story, but names actually make a difference. And when we're gonna go and learn Hilchas Gittin or Hilchas Ksubis here in the Kol, we're gonna get there. It might be a little bit down the line, but we'll get there. So that was his name, Yehoshua Falk Katz. Where did he live? He grew up in Poland. He was a relative of the Rama, who then learned by the Rama and made it to his Rebbe, the Marshal. He was born in 1555. So he's one of the earlier, so to say, Noisei Kalim, who just about the age of the Rama, Talmud of the Marshal, was one of the earliest. The Marshal already was a drop younger than the Mechaber himself, the Shulchan Aruch. So we're at the earlier end of the Noisei Kalim.
The Marshal and the Rama were related.
Yes. So unclear. Also, I don't know if they're related the same way. Could be.
But he learned by both of them.
He learned by both of them, correct. But he doesn't preface that the Marshal was his relative. So, so that's Rabbi Shua Falkatz from Poland. It's Machlekes where he grew up. Pashas, he grew up in Krakow. Great. Again, this is all, we're not going to get stuck on, hung up on every little detail. We just want to get the general picture. So, then he goes and he's a counterpart of Reb Mordechai Yaffe. Who's Reb Mordechai Yaffe? No?
Yeah.
Mordechai Yaffe? I'll give you a hint. Talmud of the Rama. It's a really hard one. Okay, I'll bail you out. He did. He rewrote the Shulchan Aruch as per the Rama's Pesachim with a little more Hezber. He was the Lavush.
Right.
So Mordechai Yaffe was the Lavush, and the Sma was a counterpart of Mordechai Yaffe. He actually, you know, there's always a little juicy stuff in the Hakdama to Prisha and Drisha. He goes and he says, you know, the Lavush, very often he's not medactic because he was so busy with communal matters that he wasn't able to be so zohir in his learning. Which is Lishi Tase, I'll tell you why. I'm not going to tell you what my other day job is, but the Prisha goes and writes that he davened to the Rabbeinu Shloim and he should never be a Rav. Why? Because the communal responsibilities are so great, and to learn Torah properly, you have to have a clear head. I'll never be able to learn properly. So he davened, and he never became a Rav. His father-in-law was tremendously wealthy. Tremendously wealthy to the extent.
He started the whole yeshiva.
To the extent that Ein Chadash Tachas HaShemesh, the sugya of people marrying or looking. But in defense, this past week we spoke about the Aruch Chaim in Shul. Aruch Chaim was one of the few people who actually suffered tremendously from his father-in-law's wealth. He wound up in jail. The Moroccan government, the Moroccan monarchy put him in jail as they were trying to collect debt from his billionaire father-in-law. So it's not always as rosy as it seems, but there is a precedent. We're not talking about average people. We're talking about the greatest, most skilled people who were destined and actually were the gedolim of their respective generations. And if they wanted to be able to learn without any concerns, they needed to have the financial backing, and the people who valued such skills and such kriches went looking for them, found them, and supported them. So it's a great system. Now, to have it widespread across every single yachid v'yachid is a different discussion, but to go and to, you know, say, how could the gedolim do this? If they didn't do it, we may not have had them. Okay, that's an aside. So his father-in-law, he thinks his father-in-law saying that, you know, it was such a big bracha, I was able to go and sit in my house. He built me a house of stone. Stone. Most of our houses today in 2022 are not stone. A house of stone. Just that it was sturdy.
Yeah.
And he had four floors. And he said, I was able to house all the bachrim from my yeshiva. And they were able to come learn by me. And my father-in-law supported me, my family, and my entire yeshiva for 25 years. Thank you. And he named one of his farm, Beis Yisrael, after his father-in-law, Reb Yisrael. Okay? So then he goes and he writes, he's going to write his Pirushim. So this, there was a recurring theme after the Mechaber and the Ramah came out. People were not pleased with the fact that it was written so bekitzur. They didn't like it. How could you write something so shorthand? You're going to cause a kilkel because people won't understand the dinim. And if they won't understand, they'll come to, you know, be medama milsa lamilsa without being properly equipped with the knowledge. And therefore, it's going to cause major problems. So everyone, as the Marshal just disregarded the Mechaber and the Ramah. He didn't care for their psukim. He came out against them and moved forward. As did Reb Chaim, the brother of the Maral, Vikuach Maim Chaim. As we mentioned, he was not very happy with the Ramah's Teres Chatos, and yeah, that didn't go over so well. Moving forward, other people, Nesi Kalim, the Levush tried to rewrite it with more Pirushim. If you look in the Levush, he always goes and throws in some extra spice. Throws in a biur, throws in a tosefes to try to give more Havana to every din. That was his, so to say, contribution to the cause. The Drisha and the Prisha wrote a Pirush on the tour. Number one, he felt that the Beis Yosef didn't do justice in being mefarish it. He went on these lengthy things. It wasn't mefarish the tour directly. So he wrote the Prisha to directly be mefarish the tour. And then he wanted to be mefalpel. He wanted to be two separate things, so he wrote the Drisha. That's why you have the Prisha and the Drisha, both from Reb Yusha Valk Falk Katz HaKoyim. So that's the Svarim that he wrote as per the Torah. I don't know. Let me check. I still don't know. So, I don't know. Prisha, he writes this in Nakdama. Prisha is being mefarish the Divrei Atur. Drisha is darshaning, so to say, off the Shitas and beyond the Shitas to try to be mefalpel in the different Shitas. And he also wrote a Sefer called Sna Sefer Meir Sinayim, which was also an attempt to, you know, expound beyond Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat. And it was such a great work that he really obviated any necessity for a Taz. The Taz didn't write a Pirush on Choshen Mishpat because already was the Sma. The Shach did. The Shach wrote a different style, which we're going to get to in the Shach.
Different style than
he did in Yerideya. Yeah. Yeah, the Shach changed his style in Choshen Mishpat. Because he didn't need to write a shach like he did in Yerideya on Choshen Mishpat, because there was a sma. Again, deference and cover for the sma. So now, in the last 4 minutes we got, there was a famous woman, one of the most famous women of this generation. And she's arguably one of the only women quoted after. You know, there were many women in Tanakh. How many women made it to the Nosei Kelim? Very, very few. Let me share with you a Magen Avraham in Halakhos Neiros. He quotes from Rebbetzin Bela. She was such a progressive, she was well beyond her years. She was a tremendous master. So much so, they say that whenever she could, she would try to sit and learn. But she only did it, and this is the key, and this is, in this sense, she was not so progressive. She only did it after her husband died. And so long as her husband was alive, she needed to support her husband. And she understood that it was secondary, that her learning was secondary to helping the Gadol Hador. He passed away, and she starts doing kanesim, learning. She locked up the shul. She was the last one there. She was a masmid. People, the Talmidim used to come ask her, shailas and learning. She was a tremendous, tremendous, knowledgeable woman. And the Bungan Avram goes and quotes her. There's a Shaila, right? What do we do Friday night? We do the covering. We're gonna, maybe we'll learn Lucky's Neighbors one day. Why do we cover our face? Because we don't want to be Nana from the Bracha. We want to be over Lasiasa, and you make the Bracha prior because they're Makabal Shabbos without Lucka. So that's why they go and they light first and then they cover their face. Why? Because they have to make sure that they're gonna only be Nana from it afterwards. What do you do on Yontif? Should we just change? Because on Yontif, you can really light afterwards. You don't need to light before Shabbos comes in, before Yantar comes in. So she was of the opinion switch. Magen Avraham goes and quotes her and says, where are we?
Very tough.
I should read you the words. So give me one moment. Where are we? Magen Avraham.
Ain't a chachmas notion of the palp or something?
Fine. Okay, I can't find it. Ah! So he says, B'shem, he quotes the Drisha B'shem his mother, which is really a mistake, because the Hakdama of the Drisha is written by the Drisha's son. That's where the mistake comes from. So the Marama is, the Magen Avraham is properly quoting, it's B'shem his mother, but the Hakdama wasn't written by the Drisha, because it's the Drisha's wife, whose name was Bela. That he ends off, Aval Ein Chachma Le'isha. Pretty sharp. Ein chachma leisha, and therefore we don't care about Mrs. Drisha what her psakim were. Nevertheless, the Dogma Rav Nadi Huda comes along and says, No. We find by Parshas Vayakel that the women were allowed to come and they had a chachmas noshim, and we adrabba, we go like Mrs. Bela Drisha, and we taka paskin like her.
Did he say that his own mother?
No, the Magen Avraham quotes the Drisha, whose wife, Paskin, that. So that was the Drisha Rabbi Shua Falkatz, that was his wife, Rebetzin Bela, and she ended up moving to Ali to Israel, and to be continued next week. Move forward.